I call the Onalaska City Council meeting of August 10th, 2021 to order. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Certainly. Bell?
Here.
Coleman?
Here.
Looby?
Here.
Nicholson?
Here.
Robinson?
Present.
And Tungle?
Here.
And Mr. Tudyakov is absent this evening.
Yes, he's hurt twice. Anyway, let's hope for his speedy recovery. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I get a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by Tungle and seconded by Bell. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we'll consider them adopted. How about the minutes of the previous meeting of July 27th? Can I get a motion and a second to adopt those minutes?
Make a motion to adopt or approve the minutes of July 27th, 2021.
Second.
Moved by Bell, seconded by Nicholson. And do we have any objections on the minutes? No objections or corrections. We'll consider it adopted. We'll move into the City Manager's report. City Manager, take it away.
Yes, thank you. The written report is in your packet. I'm happy to answer questions that you might have. I do want to bring up a couple of things to your attention just as a friendly reminder. There are strategic planning sessions with City Council this Thursday and Friday. We'll be meeting up at the McCushion Room. Thursday, the time is, it's 9 o'clock in the morning to 3:30. Thank you, Madam Clerk. And Friday from 9 to noon. So right now, the week is going quite well. Right now, the facilitator is working with the directors Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then we'll take kind of some of the key takeaways and share that with council as you begin your process with the strategic planning. So looking forward to that. Another thing that is noted on the report is a visit by Senator Murkowski and Secretary of the Energy for originally planned for August 16th. That, I just found out this afternoon, that trip has been canceled. I do not know any information other than that, but I just thought I would pass that along to you. And I also suspect that there are some questions on the latest COVID here locally. Melanie Tira has agreed to provide us all with an update, and she is on the line, and I will pass it along to Melanie.
Thank you. Mayor Tudyakov had also asked that perhaps we review verbally some of the information that we normally have put into press releases, thinking that some people have dialed into this meeting that may not get information another way. So I wanted to cover a few of the high points of current information. Our case count over the last few weeks, we've had about 45 cases of COVID. We have three active cases right now. They're industry related and they're under investigation. The vaccination rate across Alaska for 12 and older is 58.5 of individuals who have had at least their first dose, and 71% for un-Alaska for first dose. And across the state, we're seeing a lot of cases. Many of you follow those case counts as well. So they're averaging about 250 to 300 new cases per day. The state has stated that about 90% of those cases are Delta variants at this point. And at this point, we haven't identified any local Delta variant, so it's expected that we will or that we already have had cases. When testing is done anywhere other than on the Cepheid unit, there isn't any product left to sequence. So we have four cases currently that we've sent in for sequencing. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks. So we are expecting to have Delta variant as well but that has not yet been confirmed. So we know that Delta is more contagious than the previous strains. The hospitalization rate has increased throughout the state, and it's greater than about 10% of cases right now. So that's much higher than it's been in the past. And you know, across the nation, they're looking at fatality rate, whether or not that has changed with the Delta variant or not. At this point, what we've been told from the hub hospitals that we work with, they're seeing 100 or more hospitalized per day across the state and those major hospitals. We have seen a few issues, some diversion of COVID and non-COVID patients to different hospitals based on the flow in our usual hospitals that we transfer to. We've seen cancellation of elective surgeries as they're responding to high volumes of hospitalized patients. And they've also reduced visitation within the hospital. So no accompaniments in the ERs and only one visitor allowed in the inpatient unit. A few other points that I wanted to make sure that I shared. We have been looking at our local plan, our local risk levels. And we were waiting on the state. We knew that they were changing their risk levels, their alert levels, as they call them, to four tiers rather than three. They did release that this week. And there are some shortcomings with the system. It still is based on incidence. So it's weekly incidence per 100,000 people. And they state that there are certain limitations when it comes to populations that are as small as ours. Some items that they ask to, you know, for everyone to consider are things like extent to which the source is known, how many positives, what percent of positives are in a community, what is the vaccination coverage in the community, and then also the statewide trajectory. So they're acknowledging that smaller communities may have some better information that may really evaluate their risk versus just kind of this straight incidence that they've been using for larger populations. So Aaron and I are looking at that with the mayor, and we may have something a little bit different to propose in the future. And then another comment on wastewater. We're very excited. I know when I open the wastewater report, I'm regularly excited by what I find. It correlates with our cases, our known cases, beautifully. And so that's exciting to me. It's a kind of a good, you know, backup check for what's happening in the community versus, you know, what we know, what comes to be seen or what industry is identified. So that's been a very good piece of information and a piece of information that most communities across Alaska simply don't have. So that's been very validating for our team. I'm happy to take any questions if anyone has any.
Does the council have any questions? Mr. Tungle.
Yeah. So we're still open on any, whoever wanted to get vaccinated, they can still go to the clinic and get vaccinated. And are we planning any kind of drive?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there any kind of drive you guys planning?
Yeah.
Open one. We got the Art of the Aleutian Kami. It'll be nice to see if we have a drive for vaccination on that day because everybody's going around. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And we are going to have vaccinations available at the Heart of the Illusion Festival.
Mr. Bell?
Through the city manager here, I was listening to the numbers there. What we're saying is there's three active cases right now. Those industry related. Do we have one that's travel related?
Current cases are industry related. All three have some elements of travel as well, and two are under a little bit further investigation based on timing of when they arrived to see what kinds of interactions may be with the community. I'll also mention that contact tracing going forward as of last month and moving forward will be done by public health nursing. We no longer have a contract with the state to provide that service, and so we're continuing to support companies and support individuals and, of course, do testing. And help public health nursing with their contact tracing efforts, but they will be taking primary going forward. So we may not have as much detail as we've had in the past.
Thank you.
Ms. Luby?
Melanie, under the four-tier system, where does Unalaska sit in that?
I believe we fall in the high category right now.
And what would cause us to be in the high category with three cases?
Yeah, so it's straight case count over the last 7 days. And it doesn't look at Unalaska specifically, but rather the census area that we fall into, which includes surrounding villages.
Okay, thank you.
Any further counsel?
You're welcome.
Any further council questions on the manager's report? Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, with that, I guess that they announced that the new airlines will be coming in and start flying those sub 2000. Is that still going to be happening this fall, or any other update on that one, please?
I do not have any update other than the big news release that was sent out. So, no, but that's good news.
With the news, are they in coordination with the airport? Were they going to be with the airport? Were they going to be checking in people, and now they're going to passengers?
They have been working with our ports office, with our ports department on, you know, getting a space available to a counter space available. And I'm not exactly sure of the layout, but they've been coordinating closely with ports.
Thank you.
Councilmember Luby.
I actually have a couple questions. The first one is, do we have an update on airline miles?
No update on airline miles.
Okay, that's been a question going around. There was some word that possibly that Raven had made an agreement with Alaska Airlines, but we don't know that for sure yet.
I have not been told that, no.
Okay, great. And then the other question I was wondering was, are we going to paint lines on the roads anytime soon?
I'm going to shoot that over to our Public Works Director.
The shorter answer is yes, we will be doing it this year. We had kind of postponed to thinking that we'd get the pavement resurfacing RFP out, but I've been in consultation with some of the providers for those services, and they said it's getting a little bit late in the year, so by the time we issue an RFP and go through that whole 30-day process and then award the contract, for them it'd be too late to plan it, and we're getting to our rainy season. So what we're looking at now is we'll go ahead and paint the stripes on the streets and stop bars and everything, and then the school crossings, and then issue the RFP for the seal coating, and then that would get completed early next year, probably like in May and June.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just noticed, I think people don't know how to drive if those lines are not there sometimes.
I've
I can't tell you how many times that I've gone around a corner and it's like, move over.
No, yeah, I've been getting that same question by several other people.
Thank you.
Council Member Coleman.
Thank you. I hope to talk to Mr. Konar through the city manager. I thought that we were going to, with the resurfacing saddle, we're going with DOT was going to do their work, and we were going to do that in conjunction with their. That was a while back when we had that discussion, so I thought that was the plan instead of doing individual, and then that was going to be later as it goes on, but we're going to piggyback with their project and go from there.
I was told that's correct. I was told that the DOT was not going to be doing that project this year. So unless anybody knows anything different, you know, I would like to know.
That's just what I remember from our conversations quite a while back.
Yeah,
no, CMMPs, but it could have, yes.
Yeah, that was a correct remembrance, like I said, but I've been told recently that the DOT was not going to pursue that project this year.
Do they plan on doing it next year then?
I can't. I really don't know.
I don't know.
Are there any further questions for the manager on her report? I don't have any, so thank you. We'll move on to community input and announcements. This is a time for the members of the public to provide information to the council, on announcements of interest in the community. There'll be another opportunity near the end of the meeting. Yes, sir.
Hi. Roger Blakely here from the Parks and Recreation Department. I just wanted to let everybody know that the Heart of the Aleutians Festival will be Saturday. Starts at 12, goes to 7, downtown. Should be fun. Lots of people are going to be there, lots of vendors, lots of fun things to do. We welcome you to come and be part of it and look forward to having you there. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Any further announcements? Madam Clerk.
Just wanted to remind everyone again that our local election is October 5, and we'll have 3 school board seats and 3 council seats on that ballot, as along with some other ballot initiatives. If anyone's interested in declaring candidacy for either school board or city council, please stop by the clerk's office and pick up a candidacy packet. We'll be accepting those through August 23rd is the deadline to get those in. And the deadline to register to vote in this election is September 5. And you can stop by City Hall to get a registration form, or you can do it online with the Division of Elections. And to use the online option, you do have to have a current valid driver's license or ID card from the state of Alaska. We also have an opening on the Planning Commission and Historic Preservation Commission. And if anyone's interested in serving on that board, please let us know. You can go to the city website and get the application, or stop by City Hall. And then finally, again, your first half property tax payments are due August 20th.
You said August 20th?
August 20 for the first 20. Half.
Great, thank you. Are there any further announcements? Is there any comments written from the public?
No, sir.
So thank you. At this time, we have public comment on the agenda items. This is the time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda if they don't want to wait until the item comes up at the regular agenda. To comment during a regular agenda, when a particular item is discussed, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Does anyone in the room wish to speak? Madam Clerk, is there anyone signed up?
Nobody signed up with me either.
Great, thank you. Next, we'll go on to public hearing. There are 4 ordinances. This is the time for members, this is the time for members to put public comment on the proposed ordinances before the council. There should be a time limit of 3 minutes per person per ordinance. We ask that you give us your name and the ordinance in which you are commenting. And those ordinances are ordinance 2021-11, amending Alaska Code of Ordinances, Chapter 6.40, sales tax, to increase the rate of sales tax levy from 3% to 4.5% for the purpose of creating a utility supplemental fund. Ordinance 2021-12, amending UCO 9.04, business licenses and regulations, to clarify the due date for application to renew business licenses and to add a late fee. We have ordinance number 2021-13, amending the Port of Dutch Harbor on Alaska Marine Terminal tariff. And ordinance number 2021-14, amending on Alaska Code of Ordinances, Chapter 4, City Elections, to establish the wage for non-employee election judges and clerks to be determined by the council or by council resolution, and to allow certification of elections results at either the regular or special meeting of the city council. Does anyone in the room wish to speak? Madam Clerk, have we had anybody signed up or on Zoom?
No, sir.
All right. At this point, I will close the public hearing. We'll get a motion and a second to move into a work session.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Coleman, seconded by Tungle. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we are now in the work session. And the first up, we have the discussion of the proposed use of the American Rescue Plan Act funds, or the ARPA. Take it away, City Manager. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. The city has already provided the necessary requirements and documentation to the state of Alaska in order for us to begin receiving our ARPA funds, which will get a little bit over $1 million in the ARPA funds through the state from the federal government. The budget amendment that's before you this evening appropriates that both the receipt and the use of these funds. And what Jim is on the line today, and he'll be able to walk us through what staff is planning and proposes to how staff plans to use those funds, again, which is outlined in the budget amendment before you this evening. So, Jim, take it away.
Good evening, Mr. Vice Mayor and Council. Appreciate the opportunity to come before you tonight and share with you staff's intentions for the use of the ARPA funds. One thing before I started that I wanted to clarify. So the city manager mentioned that we'll receive a little over $1 million, which is true. The point of clarification I wanted to make was we will receive that in two separate tranches. We'll receive one. The first one, we've submitted all of our paperwork. We're just waiting to receive those dollars at this point. Hopefully they should be received by the city in the next week or two. The second tranche will be received 1 year from the receipt of the first date, or right around that time. So we will not receive the full amount of the funds up front, and there will be a bit of a delay. However, we can use the funds, the full amount that we are being awarded, even if we haven't fully received all of the funds to date. So what I wanted to point out to the council tonight was just a really high, broad overview of how staff proposes for the funds to be used. And as you can see under the discussion section, I talk a little bit about the PCE credit going away, and staff in our group, in our COVID committee meeting, we had already discussed the idea of using these ARPA funds to provide a utility credit to our PCE eligible customers, similar to what we had done with the CARES funding. And so I lay that out a little bit under discussion. And, you know, one important note that I put in here, too, is, PCE, we typically think of that as being a benefit to our residents, which it certainly is. But there is also a benefit to the city in some of the, for utilities, for some of the city things, as well as the clinic. And so I wanted to point out that should the PCE credit go away fully, then it would increase the city's utility bills by about $300,000. And if council wished to contemplate using some of those dollars as part of, you know, ARPA monies to cover some of that cost, I just wanted to put that out there as an option. But then on the top of page 2 of my memo, it talks specifically about how we were going to utilize the funds. But we wanted to make sure and cover the cost of the isolation site through the end of December. We estimate those costs to be about $64,000. We also have two temporary firefighters, or two temporary staff, that meet planes at the airport. And we're estimating that the cost of that is about $82,000, provide the utility credit for $873,000. And then the fire chief has proposed some upgrades or some improvements to the EOC that for $50,000, it would make it more easily scaled and improve the ability to handle any sort of emergency that may come up in the future, COVID or non-COVID related. So the budget amendment that you have before you later outlines this more clearly, but I wanted to present this to you. And with that, I'm open to take any questions that you may have.
Any questions from the council? Mr. Tungle?
Did you say We can have about $100,000 to help out on the PCE. I understand that correctly.
The plan for if Like, there's two items on there. So there's, we think it became the utility credit was an item that we had planned on using as a vehicle to distribute these funds previously, but with the potential loss of PCE, that really heightened it. We anticipate utility credits of around $873,000 that we would provide to local residents.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any further questions? Councilman Bell?
Directed to the city manager, if you can remind me, what was the time frame we were budgeting and intending to keep the isolation center?
Yeah, through the end of December of 21.
Okay, and then I guess I'd just make a general comment that I'm in favor of the direction that this is going, and thank you.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I like this plan too, and you know, we're, even though we're getting $1 million, it looks like the utility credits are going to be spread out over the year, so we won't be spending what we don't haven't received. So I like that in there. As far as the PCE, I have high hopes that AFN will win the lawsuit that they filed. There was the judge indicated there will be a expedited decision on this, on that case, in the first hearing they had. Are there further questions from the council? Councilmember Coleman.
Yes, thank you. So the isolation site, are we talking about one building, or are we talking about two buildings?
So we have not made any change to how we're operating the isolation site to what we've been doing since, I think, March. So there's two structures.
So there's two structures. So you think we need to hold two structures instead of the one large one?
I'm sure we could probably do it with one, but when the larger structure is in use with individuals who functionally, operationally, it works better with the two. I might call on our fire chief, who is knee deep in the operations there, and he can kind of give his perspective on that.
We thought about scaling back ever since we had the two buildings, but what we found is when we crank the building up, it's usually both floors are being taken up. Well, the second building is where we keep all of our supplies, all of our clean supplies, so they're not being contaminated with the positives, and that's really what it all boils down to, is just trying to keep a clean area and a clean space for anything or anybody who's not a positive can be in the second building, the smaller building.
Okay, thank you. I just, yeah, you know, I think it's important to keep that running. I mean, I hope it doesn't get used, but you never know. And it has been used, and I'm glad that it is available to us. So upgrade to the EOC. How much money do we still have left over from CARES from 2020 that was issued to us?
We are just about out, and I don't have that spreadsheet in front of us. We meet on a regular basis to walk through that. But Jim, do you have... so no, there really isn't any more to spend. I think we did reserve some of the CARES Act funds to help us with the isolation site through August, which is why we're looking here from September to October for the ARPA funds. But I think we pretty much have spent it all out.
So what specifically are we talking about with upgrades to the EOC?
Come on up.
When we first got the CARES Act funds a year and a half ago, one of our priorities was to upgrade the EOC to make it a more functional area. Right now, when it's the fire station, half of our training room is taken up with EOC stuff. But when we activate the EOC, it's still not that feng shui, I guess, if you want to use a a word that I just made up, maybe. But what we were trying to do, so, and the reason we didn't do it with the CARES Act money was because that time frame that came along with it in the beginning is we only had a year to spend the CARES Act money. Now, granted, after that project said, well, you know, how hard is it getting any work done on the island? And number two, how hard is it to get any work done on the island during COVID? Because you couldn't bring anybody out, couldn't do anything, nothing was shipping. So that project just got pushed back. Now, I'll even back up a little bit further than that, was the fact that we were going to build a new police station this year instead of in two more years. So we thought, okay, let's just hold off before we spend any more money on this building and figure out how this building is going to really end up looking. Well, now we have this money that came in, and we said, okay, what were those projects that we kicked off because we couldn't get them completed in that time frame, and what can we bring back on and get it done in this time frame? Well, that just rose back up to the top of something that we can get done and hopefully get done in the time frame. Now, what we're doing is making it where it's a more usable space, buying desks that fold up and out of the way when it's not an EOC, making a storage space where all of our EOC stuff is in one spot. Right now it's in probably seven or eight different spots. So it's just a whole lot of little things that just add up because it costs so much. Everything out here costs so much.
And I know that $50,000 seems like a lot, but it's not. I hope that some thought is given into how do you spend this money wisely with an EOC when at some point that whole station will be fire. And so we don't have to reinvent that whole process, and that you can possibly use those concepts in once police moves out. So just moving forward with the little money to use it in the future.
So what we're trying to do, and one of the marching orders that I gave Captain Hansen, because he's kind of spearheading this project for us, is to make it where everything that's there, because our EOC probably won't be upstairs whenever police moves out, because it's not ADA compliant. If we had somebody who needed to come up there in a wheelchair, the only way we get them is carry them up. So to move all that public access stuff downstairs, so we're not in outside of compliance for ADA. So we're going to make it where everything can be moved when it's time to move.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can stay there, maybe. I'll still task to the city manager, but I guess I won't ask about how efficient or how really beneficial this meeting, the flights and the contract tracing and that whole business has been going. I'm a little skeptical on that one. However, I do have to say that whatever it takes to keep us at a low level, I know we're at medium now, but I mean, at least our mandates to be minimal. I mean, if that's what it takes, then I think it's money well spent. But I guess that's my thing, is like, is it, how effective really is it? Is there any way to qualify
all right.
that?
Or qualify now we're having a contest of who gets to respond, but go ahead.
This is the best thing that we're getting out of that contact, is every single person fills out, unless they just protest and say they're not going to, but we get 95% compliance, at least 95%. And what we find out is who is coming on this island, who is vaccinated and who is not vaccinated. And we are keeping a running tally of who they are and whether they are or they aren't. And right now, at our last run, which you got it in your council package, we're at 77% of every person who comes on this island is already fully vaccinated. So that number is huge to us, because now what we see is if there are those 4, 5, 10 cases on the island, we know that there's the odds of them spreading that everywhere else is really, really low. And the only way we would know that is by getting those people at the airport and finding out who's here and what level they are on their vaccinations.
Okay. Thank you. Just one more comment that I just, general comment, no, you're good. You know, I think one of the things I'm remiss about when we were looking at CARES Act funding, back however long that was, is looking at recognizing those businesses that got hit the hardest through tourism, the summer groups. And they got hit again this summer, and there weren't a lot of them. I guess it would be nice if we had some way to at least acknowledge or somehow be able to come back and look at the planning director. No, he doesn't want to do that again. But, well, I mean, I know there were a lot of businesses. I mean, you know, the hospitality industry and all of that got hit over and over again. But specifically, I know that even now, the tourist industry, anybody who's trying to serve that group just got hit a second season for this. So it would have been nice if there was some way that we could appropriate some of these funds somehow to those groups. I mean, I like the utility. I mean, I who doesn't like that one? But I mean, obviously it's not nearly as much as we got with CARES Act. And I think it's even less than what we originally had hoped for when the first numbers came out. So that would probably be the only business group that I would wish we could help. And it's not a lot of people either. It's not a lot of groups.
So we talked through some of that, like what else could we do? And we kind of just ended on, for the CARES Act, we had $13 million. And over half of that went out to the community in varying, you know, methods and to businesses included. This is just north of 1 million. So, I mean, I think then we just kind of ended up of what is the most efficient way to get that out to community members. And so that's how we came up with that utility credit. So as far as staff time goes, and I think efficiency to get it actually out, that was our proposal.
Councilmember Luby.
I tend to agree with Sherry there. I think that the tourism industry, with no cruise ships or there wasn't very many travelers that came into Unalaska either, I tend to think that maybe they do need a little bit. I mean, something to say, you know. I mean, I know back in December, you know, when we were, you know, the city council did actually, you know, provide for the hospitality industry. And I kind of felt bad back then that, the taxi cabs, that was another one that, you know, kind of got missed back then. And the taxi cabs are a huge help to this community in safety, especially on Friday and Saturday nights or even other nights, you know, to get the drinkers home. And during the pandemic, we had a hard time getting taxi cabs as well, just because they would go home. There was no business. There was no fishermen. There was nobody in the bars and restaurants that needed a ride home. So I think the taxi cabs also were hurting a lot. And even if we just came up with a lump sum, you know, maybe it's $5,000, $10,000 to each one of them, something like that just to help them, because I know they did struggle through the winter. And if we could help them, I would be in a total agreement with that. Thank you.
Councilman Tungle.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, but where do we draw the line on this? We gave so much already, and if we're going to do with the, I guess we got charters, we got, with the tourist part, we got a few that, not just a single one, we got a few that are, got really hurt on this, and we did give their share as much as we can when we distributed and gave money to all of them. And now if we're going to do this again, where do we draw the line? What about the people that other businesses that got hurt and not as bad as they are? So I guess where do we draw the line and who we going to give? I hate to play favoritism on any kind of money that we give. I think we got to be equal with everybody that really got affected on this, and I want to see if we're going to give somebody, we're going to spread it equally. Thank you.
Councilmember Nicholson.
I do agree that there has been a lot of businesses hit by this and continually, you know, and it is the cabs, the cab taxi drivers and, you know, the charter companies. They are not getting the business that they are used to. And, you know, I just don't want to see businesses fail and have to close because they're not getting it. So having a little, you know, lump sum for taxis and, you know, other businesses and stuff, if we can do something, I'd like to see that happen. And, you know, definitely providing the utility credits and the isolation center and, you know, all the other ones, they're just as important. So, you know, whatever we can do for everybody in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Yeah, I don't want to sound insensitive to the needs of, you know, the tourist industries or any related businesses. We have a little bit of a difference here, and this time we're talking, you know, less than 10% of what we got in CARES Act money, you know, at $1 million as opposed to the 13 plus. And previously, the first summer, it was kind of an unknown what these companies were going to be up against. And I think it was great that we were able to send some money that way and help those companies out. This summer is not necessarily as much of a surprise. They've had a season to understand that business may be down and be able to take appropriate measures for another down season. The money that's going, that we're proposing here for the utility credits, I really think is the best bang for the buck. A lot of people liked it. It really covers the community members that live here in this community. That's where I believe the bulk of that should go. Thank you.
Thank you. I echo Mr. Bell's feelings. The utility credits are going to be provided to the utility customers, and the only ones that would not necessarily benefit are the self-generators. But it will cover the taxi cab companies, nearly every driver in those companies. The utilities cover the folks that the businesses also. Am I correct? So that's spreading it fairly evenly, and it is a small number to be dealing with, and to come up with a plan to do that for such a small amount. I think the utility credit is again, like Mr. Bell said, the best bang for our buck. So that's why I'll leave it at that.
A couple of points of consideration as council is deliberating. When the CARES Act funding was being discussed and we had the grant program, taxis were eligible for that program and did receive support. And the other components of, you know, as you're kind of thinking through this, so know that fact. The other thing to think about is if council wants to go down the path of providing some sort of financial support to the tourism industry, a couple of things that we would need additional guidance on is what bucket does that come from? You know, that's before you right now, because something's going to have to be reduced if we go down that path. And then the other thing to consider is when you say tourism industry, what specific businesses are you speaking of? You know, just taxi cabs, because that could mean a whole bunch of things. And so we would need to kind of walk through some of that as well.
Councilmember Coleman.
Are there, there's currently, if I recall, there's currently for businesses opportunities for them to get additional relief through this program, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be a master.
I was trying to remember to read that there are other opportunities for those businesses to reach out and get additional help.
ARPA itself is a huge package, and it includes lots of different grant programs for and assistance programs for businesses and for individuals, and you know the list is quite long. So yes, to answer your question, there are other opportunities. I am not an expert in what those are. This is the one that I've been focusing my energy on at this point, but there are certainly other opportunities, and Swamsea has distributed some of that information out.
Yes, Mr. Tungle.
So if there's another opportunity, can we look into it and help businesses in town so they can approach and apply, or they got to go on their own? And
yeah, so those are opportunities for businesses themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, but is there any kind of guidance we got, the city can help them out to give them ideas on how to approach this this act? It's another stimulus, right? For businesses.
If right now the payroll protection plan option has been closed, there will be another one coming up this fall. Right now, the businesses can apply for loan forgiveness for that. So that is an option for the businesses to be able to help them, is to apply for a forgiveness of the loan if they receive the payroll protection loan. So that is one way that is, you know, ARPA is continuing to help the businesses.
I would also say that the State Department of Commerce is really they've got some information out there and would be a good resource for any businesses that are looking for funding and support out there.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Libby.
And I just read one actually this morning. There's a new program through the state of Alaska that's going to be coming out, and it'll be available for 30 days. I think it said August 5th. No, that's already passed. Anyway, it'll be coming up, but there will be assistance for other businesses that can. It's not a first come, first serve, and it is if you can prove that you had a loss of income from 2019 to 2020 that you would qualify for that. And I believe it was through the Department of Commerce. Is that where? Yeah. And so there are other opportunities, and there's a number of other programs out there for businesses, different types of businesses. Tourist industry is one of them. And I think there's actually quite a bit for the tourist industry right now. So I'm kind of now leaning towards, I think that the utility credit is probably a much better one to go with, because it does cover those businesses as well. So the businesses are also going to get this credit, or is it just customers with PCE?
Thank you for that question, because I was just about to clarify. So how we have this structured is that it would be focused on residential customers that are currently eligible for PCE.
Any further from the council? Can I get a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda? I'm sorry, we move back into regular session first, sorry.
I'll make a motion that we proceed to a regular agenda, or regular session.
I'll second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Coleman and seconded by Councilmember Luby. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we are back in regular session. Next on the consent agenda, which there are three items. Absent a request by a council member to move an item to the regular agenda for discussion, these items will be adopted without discussion and with a single vote. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
A second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Coleman and seconded by Councilmember Luby. And are there any objections to passing?
Roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call. Thank you.
Mr. Robinson.
Yes.
Mr. Tungle.
Yes.
Ms. Coleman.
Yes.
Ms. Luby.
Yes.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. We'll now go to the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the agenda must notify the clerk. First order of business is ordinance number 2021-11, amending Unalaska Code of Ordinances, Chapter 6.0, sales tax to increase the rate of the sales tax levy from 3% to 4.5% for the purpose of creating a utility supplement fund. May I have a motion and a second to adopt 2021-11?
I move to adopt ordinance 2021-11.
Second.
A motion has been made by Tungle and seconded by Mr. Nicholson. And I'll turn this over to the city manager to introduce.
Great, thank you. This ordinance, as everybody recalls, was developed as in response to a council directive, but has also now been revised based on amendments that took place and from the first reading. I'm going to go ahead and pass this along to Margie, who has worked on those amendments along with our attorney. So, Margie, take it away.
Thank you. So, Mayor and Council, as Aaron said, this was presented for first reading on July 27th, at which time Council discussed it at length and made three amendments. The first amendment was to Section 6.40.150, use of the sales tax increase, and the amendment was indicating that the increased revenue is to be used only to specifically reduce customers' utility bills. The second amendment was increasing the rate by 1.5% from 3%, the present rate, to 4.5%. And then the third amendment removed the phrase subject to annual appropriation by the City Council from that use section, 6.40.150. So I worked with the city attorney to edit the language of the ordinance, and we present it tonight for, we already had the public hearing and we're now having second reading. And the city attorney did advise that the changes to the ordinance weren't so substantial that would require us to reintroduce it tonight. So if it is your desire, you can go ahead and adopt it tonight. The second and third amendments were pretty straightforward, and we rolled those into the ordinance that's before you tonight. And the nature of the First Amendment required that the language be crafted to comply with your intent. And then I bulleted out exactly the spots that we amended. I changed the name of the fund to Utility Supplement Fund because I thought that better represented your intent. And I added the phrase in the best interest of the community in the fourth whereas statement on the fourth page. Excuse me. And then the new language indicating that the increased tax revenue will be used to offset operational expenses of the utilities to mitigate future rate increases and thereby reduce customers' utility bills. That's the amended language that we ended up with that we rolled into the ordinance for your consideration. We also removed the word infrastructure in the use of the funds, the result of which is that the increased sales tax revenue won't be used for infrastructure capital project expenses. As our city attorney pointed out, these types of capital expenses they impact rates differently than annual operating expenses, and we felt that it appeared you didn't want them used, the increased revenue used for capital projects and infrastructure, so that's why that change was made. And then the city attorney also advised the addition of the final sentence in section 6.40.150, which reads, revenue deposited in the utility supplement fund shall be considered utility revenue whenever a utility rate study is performed. And that was to, again, reinforce council's intent that the funds were to be used for rate relief. So you do have some alternatives this evening. You can approve the ordinance as presented. You could make further changes, or you could vote it down and stop the process of increasing the sales tax levy. Now, if I and the city attorney misinterpreted your intent about that word infrastructure and not using it for capital project expenses, I did provide a proposed amendment to add that back in if I misinterpreted your intent. And then finally, I'll just remind you that we do, in order to be on the October ballot, we do need to get this approved by council by August 24th. So we do have one additional meeting if we don't get it done this evening. That's all I have so much, you know, to kind of review the changes that were made from the last meeting. And our city attorney, Brooks Chandler, is on the line if you guys have any questions.
Right, thank you. For the council, any discussion? Call Mr. Bell.
Yeah, I was trying to put my thoughts together here real quick. I'm just going to think out loud here and throw out a couple comments here. The one that I was just writing down was, and this is probably the last point, would be that not too concerned about the time frame, even if we had to go to a special election. I don't want to rush through and just throw something at the wall here. For the voters to vote on. If I'm correct in what some of the councilors were talking about last time, is that instead of this being a deposit to that utility, is that it would actually show up as a credit on a utility bill. Please correct me if I'm wrong. From my point of view, I don't know that it really matters one way or the other. If it shows up as a credit on a utility bill, it's something physically that people can see and say, oh, that's what our tax, that increase in sales tax went to. Ultimately, any tax that goes into the utilities does in some way or shape or form go for infrastructure improvements. Looking down the road at improving some of these utilities, doing some of these projects that we have, gas fire, water tanks, other upgrades, we're going to increase the cost in these utilities by either by the direct cost of those improvements or needing more personnel. I think looking down the road here, we're going to be looking at, wage increases. So we're going to have additional costs. My other concern with this, and this may be the right thing at the right time, or it may not be, is are we simply just throwing some money at these utilities and kicking the can down the road that, and just delaying an inevitable big increase in utilities. So, I would love to hear from the rest of the council and kind of, so we get a consensus of ideas here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilmember Nicholson.
Thank you. Mr. Bell made some good points. Just to make sure that the monies that are collected aren't going towards a whole bunch of other items coming up. Is this money just going to go towards the credit on the utility bills? That's the main reason we're doing this. So if that can be clarified, I'd like to hear that one.
Thank you. Council Member Luby.
Yeah. My understanding also was that we were going for a direct credit similar to the PCE. But this also does accomplish the same thing, because it's actually revenue into the proprietary fund. One question I have, so if it's not being used for infrastructure, part of the line items on the expenses is depreciation, which I'm assuming is for those capital projects. You're trying to, you would depreciate them off to recover those funds. So now that makes the expenses higher, so you end up raising the rates to receive that, so, to recover those funds. So are we saying we would not have depreciation as a line item expense when you're calculating the service to debt ratio?
I'm going to take a stab at this, and to quickly answer your question, I don't know. But what we are saying at this point is how this would work, what is before you right now, would be counted as a revenue for the utility funds. And then that would be taken into consideration We do the rate studies every 4 years, so that would be taken into consideration as a standalone revenue for the utilities, and then would show that that revenue is being received, which would then reduce the need for any increase. And I feel like that's a really high level answer, but that in reality, that's how that would work. How it would get applied on an annual basis is through the budgeting process. So we would be able to communicate, and Jim, pipe in here if I'm off base here, but I think this is how this would flow. So on an annual basis, we would be preparing the draft budgets for council to consider and to approve. We would be able to identify the amount of money that came in the past year for the various, you know, for the utility supplement fund, that tax, and we'd be able to identify that dollar amount. We would see the operating costs for each of the utilities, and then have a very clear discussion of how much of that tax, how much of the supplemental tax would go into any of those utility funds. Does that make sense? So that would happen on an annual basis, and that's how it would be appropriated.
Okay, yeah. It doesn't quite answer, you know, more the question was, is the capital projects and how you recover those funds. So right now, the depreciation of, say, a water tank, for example, okay, is on, it's the line item in your expenses.
Yeah.
And so now those revenues are covering that expense. Kind of like Tom was saying, you're going to pay for them one way or the other, I guess. And so it just kind of goes back to, I like the idea of a direct credit. People can see, oh, okay, we have a credit, you know, we're offsetting those bills. And I understand we may have to raise rates too, but I really hope that we can get expenses down.
Absolutely.
You know, that would, you know, be my goal. And I think that would be the community's goal as well, is to try to, you know, reduce expenses as much as possible as the inflation goes up. And as we all know, things are going up. And as things go up, now you have to, the cost of inflation, then your wages have to go up. And if you have to buy new things, the price of those things go up. So things do go up. But if there's things you can cut out that you don't really need, then maybe you don't do those things to try to cut costs. So I do like the idea of the credit back to the customers. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm going there.
Councilmember Tungle.
Yeah, so just to be clear, adding this tax, so we can make up on what we're far behind right now, right? We are trying to make up because we're so far behind where we at. So the credit might not show up for a little while. The main concern, I think, it's for us to not see any more raises, and we can balance whatever in the next 4 years, so we don't see any kind of raise that we see this time. So correct me if I'm wrong. We're doing this to make sure we're not looking for another big raise in the future in year, and hopefully we got enough money to compensate and give back credit to all the residents that we have.
Right. I think it would take us a while, and I'm not even going to sit here and speculate. It would take a while for us to be in the position where we would be able to be crediting people's accounts. I mean, the point of this is that we're trying to make our revenue requirements, and so, which we're not right now. And I'm going to call on Jim. Are you able to touch on, I know that you talked with staff a little bit about some of the challenges if we were to establish some sort of credit, and I'm not expecting a whole dissertation on it because it is a standalone project in itself, but could you touch on some of that?
Sure. So I think for me, looking at it from an administration standpoint, you know, we're issuing these, you know, utility credits to residents, but we're providing them a flat fee of, you know, $50, $100, whatever it is, regardless of the usage. And to go through and try and calculate what an appropriate rate would be for each specific customer to show that credit on their bill every month, you know, I'd have to go back through and really look through it in much more detail. But my initial thought on that is that would create a fairly substantial administrative burden on finance to do it. It's not that we can't. It's really more just, I think, transferring the money in to show it as a revenue shortfall, you have to cover that revenue shortfall as best we can, and then providing a, we can provide a one-page insert into the utility bill to explain that, you know, we transferred in $1.5 million that into offset utility costs, and it reduces the average bill by X. I feel like that tends to meet the same, I mean, for me, but I don't want to speak for council. For me, I think that as a resident, that would be enough to see that those tax dollars that I'm paying out, I'm getting some benefit back.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Dungal?
Yes. Thank
you. Councilmember Coleman.
Thank you. So I just got my first bill. And it went up substantially. I was expecting it. We kind of got hit by a trifecta here. One, we're not subsidizing wastewater anymore, like we were. Two, PCE went away. And three, our rates went up because we all said it needed to go up. So I think everybody got a good sticker shock on seeing. So what we have been seeing is an artificial decrease in our utilities, actually. Now we get to see what it really is. And what I think is important here in going forward is that we don't want to drive residents out of here. I don't know how people can really, some of these rates, especially if you're on a fixed income, how you can stay here with the way it is. Now, that's going to be up to the voters, and which is why we're presenting this as a tax, in sales tax. I had approved, I liked the language from the original one. I can go with the language it is now. I am opposed to a language, though, that goes into specifically credits to the utility bill or the utility user. Not everyone here gets a utility bill. And so, again, if you want to make this thing digestible for everyone here, I think you want to watch your language that you were going to say, you're going to get an increase in sales tax even though you don't get a utility bill. And so I think that might be a little, I don't think that would help move this forward if that's what, you know, the intent is. I mean, obviously everyone uses water and wastewater. Not everyone here uses city power for electricity. So, you know, consider that is that, again, if you're looking at providing a credit specifically to on the utility bill, I'm not too sure you're really going to reach the goal that is necessary. So I would not be necessarily supportive to something specific to something that shows out on a bill. I the intent of all of this is to help is to supplement the cost that we're seeing now as a public utility to provide these benefits to everyone here. I understand 2 weeks ago when we first discussed this that we wanted to really kind of fine-tune this so that people kind of recognize that we're trying to keep specifically costs down, and that it's not going to be misappropriated later, you know, 10 years from now. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm okay with the language here that we've got. I think you guys did a good job about bringing that, tuning it up a little bit, and I'm okay with that. So that's all I have.
Thank you. The cost of the utilities, a majority of that was federal mandates that they required us to put in these large, expensive facilities, and then to operate them. I think that cuts, significant cuts were made, and tightening the belt were made, and they continue to the utility department continues to strive to cut costs and to save money. The rates are generated or required by the city to keep those utilities open. We just did an increase. That increase was not enough to cover what needed to happen. So we're still falling short. If this ordinance doesn't pass, I'm afraid that we are going to have to raise the rates in order to meet the revenue requirements of the utility. And I think this is probably the best way to do it. 70%, roughly 70%, you can correct me if I'm wrong, of our sales tax comes from marine fuel sales. And those are folks that come up here and fish, utilize our infrastructure. I'm sorry, 40%. So, but they come up and use our infrastructure. Then they leave, and they leave with healthy paychecks out of state, and a number of them will apply for unemployment while they're down there, and that gets tagged on to Aleutians West, because that's where they were employed during their time in the state of Alaska. So these folks are not only paying, they're not paying a sales tax or an income tax in like Washington mostly, they're also collecting unemployment, which that's more money that the state is sending out. So it's an extreme blow to to any economy when an economy cannot hold on to some of the money to keep the money home. And I think this is one way to do that. It's accomplishing it on a smaller scale, but it's still, I think, it'll be significant when we see that we're not going to have to increase the rates to meet the what the study suggested and meet our revenue requirements on that. So I think the way it's worded now is fine. I was thinking that more along the lines initially of a direct credit to the reflecting on the utility bill, but that creates an administrative nightmare, so to speak, if you would, and ultimately the whole goal is to reduce the cost of utilities, and by allowing it to be utilized within the utility infrastructure and capital projects, it effectively does that. In the end, it keeps those costs low, and again, remember, a lot of these projects were federally mandated. We had no choice but to build what we had to build. And I think it's in the very near future, we are going to be faced with putting secondary sewer treatment in place of what we have now. And that's going to be another blow that, again, will be a federally mandated program. And it's going to affect the taxpayers directly, you know, in utility bills. Another thing that we need to keep in mind is is our landfill. We have less than 12 years left on that. And when we thought we may have had 20, it's going pretty fast. So we, and that is going to be a major cost to the customer also. So these things are coming down, they're coming fast, and I think this is one way, like I said, to curb some of those costs and allow us to keep the rates at somewhat livable and low. So I think that's all I have. So, and with that, is there anybody signed up from the public? Mr. Bell, we'll go around the council one more time.
Yeah, there was a couple more thoughts I just wanted to throw out here. The way this is written, I think I can stand behind this moving forward and put this to the voters. I'm not too worried if it doesn't pass, because I think we do have some other options that we could go. I know we talked before about possibly fish tax. The other comments I had, or some of the comments that I got, was, you know, on this increase in sales tax is potentially exempting food items, even if we had to increase the percentage that the sales tax went up, just as a thought out there. You know, and ultimately the voters will decide. You know, I was trying to do the math in my head on what it would cost, you know, an average family. And, you know, I don't know what exactly, you know, where the average is as far as food costs for, you know, a household in this community. But, you know, even if you go to a $20,000 a year that you're spending on food, that could be high, low, or wherever that is, that's an additional $300 a year in sales tax at the 1.5%. So I guess in the end, you know, the voters need to decide, is that $300 in a sales tax the right way to go? So, thank you.
Mr. Nicholson?
Listening to all the councilmen's statements and stuff, I will be behind this ordinance, and I think that it's written the way that it should be. I think that for the community, for the residents here, I think that this will be good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nicholson. Ms. Luby.
Yeah, and after listening to Jim and all the other council members as well, I think that I would be in favor of the way it's written as well. We don't want to collect money just to spend it somewhere else in administrative costs, so that kind of defeats the purpose. So the way it's written now does, it gets us where we want to be to, as long as it's going in as revenue and offsetting the expenses, I think that we will still get to where we want and not have to raise the rates. So I'll be in favor of it. Thank you.
Mr. Tungle?
Yeah, I'll be in support of this. But I hate to say this, but with the fuel, you said it's about 70%, raising it about 70%. About 40%, raising it up, it's going to put a big dent on those. But as you said, they buy grocery nearby the pallets when they come to town. Still, I know they take the money outside, and I'll be in support of this, but I think we have to appreciate them too. We have the sales tax in here because they do business with us. Thank you.
Ms. Coleman?
I have no further comments.
And as far as me is, we are, and if we're not able to provide the infrastructure for them to come in here, they're not going to be coming in here, and it's going to get really expensive for them. So that's something else we have to consider. But I'm going to support this as it is written. Ms. Coleman.
Well, you made a point. Because you're talking about infrastructure, and yet we're removing the word infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that is something this council wants to reconsider. I guess I consider it still an expense of the utility to provide that service as a whole. I haven't heard any discussion as to replace or to add infrastructure back into it. I do know that we have, you know, we do use that, we have the 1% special revenue fund that is supposed to go capital projects, and I know a lot of times, even though it doesn't say, a lot of times it does go to our enterprise funds with those projects. So, it was just, you said the word, and I had to think about it because, you know, it's like, well, but we're removing it from, or we're not, you know, in the language here. So, I'm not going to make an amendment on it. It was just a point of discussion.
I'm sorry, I should have probably been more clear on that. As the sales tax provides for the infrastructure that the vessels utilize. You know, the 3% is a portion of that, and raising it is going to be that much more we can spend on infrastructure instead of subsidizing utilities. So, but thank you. Madam Clerk, is there anybody from the public signed up?
No one signed up, sir.
Nobody signed up. Wow. With that, we'll call the roll, please.
All righty. Councilmember Bell.
Yes.
Luby.
Yes.
Nicholson.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Coleman.
Yes.
Tungle.
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. We will see this on the ballot. So we're going on to new business. We have 2021-15, creating an FY22 budget amendment number one to receive $7,200 from the Aleutian Purple Off Island Association and appropriating $7,200 in the general fund for a senior exercise program, appropriating $197,884 in general fund to the PSEA employee compensation per CBA, and recognizing $1,069,850 of American Rescue Plan Act revenue and appropriating $1,069,850 for expenditures in the coronavirus relief fund. May I have a motion and a second to schedule ordinance 2021-15 to public hearing and second reading on August 24th, 2021.
I'll move to schedule ordinance 2021-15 to second reading and public hearing on August 24th, 2021.
Second.
Moved by Coleman, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. So, and City Manager.
Yes, thank you. The majority of this budget amendment is associated with the ARPA funds, which we have already discussed during the work session. So like I said, that's the majority. The other portions, as outlined in the title itself, are related to PCR's senior exercise program, which is receiving funds and expending those funds. So it's a wash and it's a good program. And then the other is the implementation of PSEA's collective bargaining unit agreement, which council approved previously. So staff recommends approval. If you all have any questions, Jim is still on the line to answer those.
Thank you. Discussion, Mr. Nicholson.
I have no comments. Thank you.
Mr. Tungle?
No question. We'll have a second reading, so I'll probably make a statement then. Thank you.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes, thank you. I do not have any questions.
Mr. Bell?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Luby?
No, I don't have any questions at this time.
I support this and I'd like to see it move forward. And thank you. So that's, has anybody signed up from the public to comment?
No, sir.
No public comment. And may I have a roll call?
Certainly. Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll see this on the next meeting. Are there any council directives to the manager? This is the last chance now for folks in the public to provide the council to make announcements of interest to the community. Does anybody present wish to speak? How about from the public? Anybody signed up there wishing to speak?
Nope.
Nobody. So I guess at this point we've reached the end of the agenda, and we will adjourn at 7:25.